I hope that the slides can be seen. So what I would like to talk about specifically is the way in which some prophecies have been partially fulfilled. In other words, one part has been fulfilled in the past, and yet there are other aspects of that prophecy which are still to be fulfilled. And the fact that some prophecies have got more than one fulfillment. Now, if we can consider, first of all, some of the reasons why we have so many prophecies in the scripture. Some commentator thought that over a third of the verses in the Bible were in fact prophecy. That seems to be a high estimate, but certainly the scriptures are composed of many verses that speak about future events. So why is it that the Lord has put such prophecies in the scripture for us? Well, I think first of all, and here are just a few reasons, is that we can marvel at the purposes and planning of God. Prophecies tell us what God has purposed, what God has planned. And in these days where we read of exit planning, where we hear of roadmaps for peace and other such roadmaps, where planning is given a great deal of priority in the things of this world, we can be thankful, can't we, that we can see God's master plan, that he has revealed this to us, and that we can take heart and take comfort in this. We can also have confidence to believe that scripture is inspired and inerrant, that as we see some scriptures, some prophecies being fulfilled, we can take heart that what the scripture says is true, that it is inspired, that God has breathed, and these words are his utterance, and that scriptures are and will be fulfilled correctly. Prophecy can also encourage us by appreciating that God has chosen to reveal it to us. There was no, the Lord didn't have to reveal prophecies to us, but by doing so, he encourages us when we see these prophecies are fulfilled. Maybe that's particularly true during difficult times. We're in a difficult time now, but we can see that God has fulfilled his prophecies in the past, that when we look to the future and read what is prophesied to happen, we can take heart because we know that God is in control. We know, in particular, that we will be taken out of this world before the time of the Great Tribulation. And when we see these things come to pass, it can surely promote faithfulness, purity, and worship in believers, that it helps us to be faithful because we know what God has said will come to pass, will come to pass. It helps us to live lives that are pure, that honor him and bring glory to him. And it, of course, brings forth worship in our hearts. But of course, there's how important it is to interpret prophecy accurately. Misinterpretation of prophecy dishonors God and has resulted in sects and denominations. We know in the past how that these things have caused problems, have resulted, particularly prophecy, in the rise of many sects and denominations as they have different interpretations. And failure to understand prophecy correctly can result in terrible consequences and suffering. We've only got to consider how the Jews dealt with the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, when he came, first of all, 2,000 years ago into this world. the failure of the Jews to comprehend that the Messiah would come as a suffering servant the first time meant that they didn't distinguish that the Lord Jesus was the Messiah. And their failure to do so has meant that they have suffered greatly over the 2,000 years since that time. And then we come to an issue of gaps. We will look at Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy, and we have always said that there would be a gap before Daniel's 70th week. Some people don't see a gap there. And then on the opposite side of the argument, in Genesis 1, some people think they can see a gap in the first couple of verses or between the first couple of verses. Some people say that there is no gap. So the issue of a gap is important when we come to interpret what the scriptures tell us. Now, I thought we would start by looking, first of all, at the idea of partial fulfillment and look at the incident in the synagogue in Nazareth when the Lord Jesus read from the prophet Isaiah. I think many of us would know this scripture well and are well versed with the arguments. And then we could look at Daniel's 70-week prophecy. So when we read the account as it's found in Luke, we read these verses. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, we know that this was a prophecy from Isaiah, that the Lord Jesus stood up in his hometown of Nazareth and read from this scroll and read these verses of that prophet, but that he has stopped at this particular place. We know why he stopped there, because if we were to go back to Isaiah's prophecy and look at the comparable verses that we've just read, and see what comes next, we notice these words, and the day of vengeance of our God. How remarkable it is that the Lord could point to this prophecy, and he later goes on to say that today it was fulfilled in their hearing, that the Lord read out those things which represented his ministry here upon this earth, but the day of vengeance of our God, he stopped before reading that. And we know that the day of vengeance is a future day of vengeance, that we now live in the day of grace, but that in the future day, then vengeance will be taken and enacted in this world. If we look at Daniel's 70 weeks as a further example of a partial fulfillment, I'm going to go through these prophecies fairly quickly to try, and although I've entitled this talk as an introduction, hope that it might stir others up for further investigation. But we know that Daniel's 70 weeks could take many hours of a discussion. But if we look at it to get the overall essence of what the prophecy is about, we know from the first part of the verse there, verse 24, chapter 9, Daniel, that it tells us that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, 70 weeks of prophecy concerning the people of Israel. And it gives a number of characteristics of this prophecy, for what is going to happen. And most importantly, highlighted it in red there, it said to Daniel, know therefore and understand. Now, I believe that this word that's used in the Hebrew means discern. it's encouragement for us to get to grips with this, to put some time and effort in to understand what these verses are saying. And we know that it says here that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. So we've got a subsection of 7 weeks, then 62 weeks. We know that together they would make 69 weeks. And so as we look at these verses, we can see, and it's been calculated by others for us, that on that day when the Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem on an ass would be the end of those 69 weeks. That verse, that part of Daniel's prophecy here, was partially fulfilled on that day when the Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And then we have other parts of the prophecy. And we can see that it can be really divided into three parts. If we take the first part, it says, and after 62 weeks. In other words, after, in fact, the 69 weeks, shall the Messiah be cut off. After the time, and we know it was very shortly after the time the Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he was cut off, not for himself, not for his own benefit, that took place when the Lord Jesus was crucified. It was, this whole prophecy was partially fulfilled at that time. And then it moves on and talks about the people of the prince that shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. But that has already been fulfilled. It was being fulfilled when Titus, the Emperor Titus, sent his armies to destroy Jerusalem in AD 70. And then it goes on and talks about confirming the covenant with many for 1 week. And it tells us what's to happen during that time. Sacrifice and oblation shall cease. Overspreading of abomination shall make it desolate. And that until the consummation, that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And so that last week, Daniel's 70th week, we believe will be fulfilled in a future day after we're taken to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus, when the man of sin or the beast will come and he will take a prominent position during that time. So here, in like the prophecy we read about previously, when the Lord stood up in Nazareth, we see that there is a partial fulfillment in the past, but there will be a future fulfillment in a coming day. As we move on, we can see that certain prophecies seem to have been fulfilled twice, double fulfillment. I'm sure you're all aware of these ones here. We'll look at them in just a little detail. But we can see the first one was at Pentecost, when we read of Peter standing up and talking about how the Spirit would be poured out. We can look at another example, when prophecies made of Solomon's kingdom, which is typical of Christ's kingdom in a future day. We can think of the Assyrian invasion in the past and a future version of such an invasion. And then I've mentioned there, and we'll perhaps just have again, fairly brief look at the virgin birth of the Messiah. And you'll notice that I put question marks there, really for you to decide whether that has been fulfilled twice or perhaps it hasn't. So the first one, I've copied into this slide the verses that we read in Acts chapter 2, when Peter stands up on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured upon the believers at that time in a remarkable way. Now, Peter quotes from the prophecy in Joel chapter 2. And no doubt those who were familiar with Joel's prophecy at that time would understandably consider that this prophecy was as to what would happen in the last days. This is what we find Peter said, as quoting the prophecy, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." So we can take it from there that, particularly in the penultimate paragraph there, "The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come." And so that clearly would refer to a future time when the Lord comes to reign. But Peter is quoting this as being fulfilled when the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost. So we see that the scripture contains a prophecy that has already been fulfilled once, but will be fulfilled in a greater way in a future day. If we look at another example, it's here we've got verses from Chronicles chapter 17, and it talks about a prophecy which refers to Solomon in the first instance, but clearly also, and other scriptures would support this, talk about Christ's future kingdom. Here it says, "And it shall come to pass from the days to be with thy fathers, that I'll raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore." So, prophetic words that were given to David, that after he has died, that he will raise up another seed, and we know that will be Solomon. But that kingdom that was Solomon's kingdom, that happened here upon this earth nearly 3,000 years ago, in a typical way, speaks of the Christ kingdom when he comes to reign over this earth, that it will be a time of peace. It will be a time of his absolute authority. It will be a time of great glory for Israel. And the Lord has seen it fit that we can have a greater appreciation of Christ's kingdom, because we can read of it actually happening during the time of Solomon. And the fact that some of his prophecies have already become true and have been fulfilled once would encourage us and indeed thrill us that when some of the prophecies describe incredible events, things that would seem fanciful to an ordinary reader, things that in some ways would be hard to believe and accept, then we can see that this has already happened, that the Lord has brought it about, that he has done this once in the past, he can quite easily do the same thing and a similar thing again in the future. So that complete fulfillment is in the future when Christ reigns. Partial or typical fulfillment that occurred during Solomon's reign. And so here we can see that some prophecies, and here's this one in Isaiah, perhaps one that isn't so well known so much, but which relates to Assyria and how that Assyria would come and attack Israel. And yet Assyria will itself be overthrown in a future day. Now, as we read through that prophecy, it gives us an indication of how or how this would be like. And it refers to God rebuking them, that they shall flee and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind. And looking at that scripture, we can see that it would be similar to what we know from other scriptures will happen in a future day. So we've got here that this prophecy was completely fulfilled when that Assyrian invasion took place in Hezekiah's time. But it's typical of something greater to come. It's typical of the time in that future day when the time just before the Lord comes, that Assyria will be destroyed, and shows us again that something that we think is unlikely to happen, something that isn't easily acceptable in the time in which we live, we can see that it's happened in the past, and therefore can be encouraged that the Lord will bring it about in the future. And then there was this prophecy that encourages you to think about for yourselves, well-known prophecy in Isaiah 7:13. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, a great deal of discussion has been held over this particular verse. But we know, because it's recorded by Matthew when writing about the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus, he quotes this same verse from Isaiah. So we know, he says here, now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying. So this prophecy has been fulfilled when the Lord Jesus came, when he was born 2,000 years ago. But some would suggest that there was a first fulfillment in the days of Ahaz, when Ahaz was encouraged to ask for a sign. So there's a question mark as to whether that has been fulfilled twice, but certainly it was fulfilled when the Lord Jesus was born here upon this earth. Then we can look at a number of scriptures and see that some perhaps more general prophecies that have been made throughout the scriptures have been fulfilled multiple times. We'll just look at three of them. Psalm 2 talks about rulers taking counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, that prophecy there, we know that there have been many occasions when rulers, when people in charge, have sought to take counsel against the Lord. The second one we can consider is the consequences for Israel for disobeying the Lord's commands. And the third one, perhaps we don't want to highlight really, but it's a simple one verse prophecy about cannibalism. So if we look at the first one, We've got rulers taking counsel together. The words that Psalm 2 tell us are, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. So we're told, kings of the earth, those in authority, those that are rulers, take counsel together against the Lord. That there were times in the history of this world where those in authority have decidedly and jointly sought to thwart the Lord's purposes and to take action against the Lord himself. Suggested here just four instances that we have and will have in the scriptures when that will take place. We know that at his birth there was actions taken to destroy the young boys. Certainly we've got instances before his crucifixion where the rulers at that time sought to nail him to the cross. We know from Revelation 17, the end of the Great Tribulation, that there will be discussions amongst earthly rulers as how to prevent the Lord acting. And then what I think is very sad, and all of them are very sad, of course, but unbelievable, really, that at the time, at the end of the millennium, when that thousand-year rule of peace and righteousness has occurred, that there will be a time when the rulers will act together against the Lord. So an example there of a prophecy of people, authorities setting themselves up against the Lord and doing it on numerous occasions against him. Some have taken place, some will take place in the future. Then we can look at Deuteronomy 28. In many ways, we need to look at the whole chapter. I had more verses originally on the screen, but was concerned that it was just going to be too much to handle. So I've just tried to take out those verses that are most pertinent. And it says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, this people of Israel, and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not, and I've just got part of the screen I've got to move so I can read the rest, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. They, in the future, the Lord knew that they would fail to obey his commandments and his statutes. So there was a consequence for that failure. And you'll notice that it says, these shall happen for a sign and a wonder, that we can look at what has happened to the Jewish nation over history and in the present time. And this again would speak to us that they are a sign, that God does act in discipline and judgment upon his own people for failures on their part. And so it says there, what the consequences would be. It says, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, A nation of fierce countenance which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favour to the young. And so we can see that this consequence that Israel would have to suffer because of their disobedience has been fulfilled many times. The latter paragraph seems to speak in particular against Rome, and how that when the Lord came, the Israel was under the bondage and servitude of the Roman Empire. And it speaks there of a nation as swift as the eagle flyeth. We know the eagle was the standard, the emblem of the Roman legions as they conquered the world. That this was written far before that time, that if Israel disobeyed, they would be punished by the Lord allowing other nations to come to conquer them and to make them as slaves and to put a yoke upon their necks. And we know that this has happened a multitude of times, and that a prophecy that was made as to what would happen hasn't just been fulfilled once or twice. It has happened a number of times, and that is further proof for us that the Lord will carry out his plans. He does and fulfill his prophecies. What he says will happen, and should be a warning and an encouragement to us. Then, and just simply as a simple verse to just bring before you, a verse from Leviticus 26:29, "And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat." So it's saying here that Israel in a future day will eat their own kind. And we know that that has happened a number of times. We've got the famine that occurred in Samaria that we read about in 2 Kings chapter 6. We know that it happened from the book of Lamentations when Jerusalem was besieged and fell to the Babylonian Empire. And although not in the scriptures, of course, Josephus, the Jewish historian, records that it also happened during that siege by Titus in AD 70. So again, a multiple of fulfillments of what scripture said would happen in a future day. So what should our responses be? Just go over some of the points again. I've only, for brevity and the sake of time, just brought before you some prophecies that seem to fulfill a number of slightly different categories of fulfilling prophecy. There are things that we can read that divide them and classify them into other categories. But the point that I would like to bring before us in these times is that we know that God has set out a plan. And that plan revolves around his beloved Son, that it has been set out even before the worlds were made, and that we can see it being brought to fruition in the past. We can see aspects of it coming into play so that the circumstances would match with those that we read of as to a future day. There are many prophecies that talk about, for instance, the 666 and the chip in the hand that we can now see how easily modern technology can make that happen today, which would have seemed difficult for people reading it in the past. We can marvel at the fact that things can be seen as they're written about, of things happening in one part of the world, all over the world. And some prophecies might seem far-fetched, but from looking at those that have been fulfilled, we can take heart We know that the purpose of God is that the Lord Jesus should have a people that have been bought with a price, that belong to him. And his purpose is that those redeemed people shall be like the Lord Jesus and shall be with him and surround him and praise him throughout all eternity. And it's planned out. God is showing us these things. Some of the prophecies that are written and described in Revelation, we can again wonder at and think of the way in which they would cover the whole earth. How could that happen? How could, in this modern age in which we live, some would say, where we have all the expertise, science and technology that we require to cope with viruses and pandemics. Have we? Well, we've been seeing that no, man is still unable to control such things. That the things that we see happening now can be spoken of, and will be spoken of and seen in a future day on a far greater scale. And God is certainly speaking to people and showing people that man is not supreme, that man is still weak and really just like clay in the potter's hand, and that we can take heart knowing that God is in control of all this, that he will take us out of the way into heaven to meet the Lord Jesus before these 7 years of terribleness will be found here upon this earth. That we can have great confidence that the scriptures have been attacked for many years now, incessantly, in different ways. But the fact that so many scriptures have been fulfilled, particularly in relation to the Lord's coming the first time and what he did here upon this earth, how he lived, how he died, that they have been fulfilled. And so we know that the scripture is true, and we have proof that the scripture is true. We can indeed take confidence that the fact that these prophecies have been written down encourages that God himself, the almighty creatorial God, has chosen to reveal his hand, so to speak, to us. He shared it with us. He shared it with us. And going back to that verse we read in to Daniel, that we should discern, that we should read the scriptures, that we should seek to accurately understand prophetic scriptures so that we can rightly divide the word of truth, and that we can be greatly encouraged knowing that the Lord's hand is still upon this world, that Satan cannot have a complete free hand, that God is sovereign and is in ultimate control. And that should promote, that should encourage, help us to be faithful, because we know that the Lord will issue rewards in a future day. We know that the Lord will come. We know that the promise of his coming in many scriptures is coupled with urgency to live lives which are worthy of the Lord Jesus. And surely these fulfilled prophecies should produce worship in our hearts when we realize what God has done and what he will do in the future. As far as earthly things are concerned, we don't know what the next day will bring forth. But as far as spiritual, scriptural prophecies found in the Word of God, we are most knowledgeable. We are those that can speak confidently of what God will do in a future time, that the day of grace will end, that there will be judgment, that the Lord Jesus will rule, and those that trust in the Lord Jesus now will spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus forever. So I hope that that has helped, perhaps encouraged some to go on further and look at some more prophecies that might that we can see have already been fulfilled and that will be fulfilled in a future day.